The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
How are your relationships today? Personal, professional, could they be better? Welcome to Talk Time with Trish, with host Trish Ferrante and co-host Lisa Stewart. There are so many variables that affect our lives. What makes the difference in our lives is genuine communication. Now, here are your hosts, Trish Ferrante and Lisa Stewart.
Hi, this is Dr. Lisa Stewart, and welcome to Talk Time with Trish. Our show is about improving communication for both men and women. Do you feel like your relationship is in a stuck place? Not happy where it is, but don't know how to make it better? Today we're going to talk about why isn't my relationship perfect? Our guest is Matt Gezzi, who uses techniques to help couples move past the stuck place and have a more conscious relationship. Matt Gezzi is a certified advanced clinical heart-centered hypnotherapist and certified Imago couples counselor. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Lisa. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here today. And I'm curious to learn a little bit more about Imago therapy. So can you tell me just a little bit more about what Imago is and how you use it in your practice?
Sure. Imago relationship therapy is a theory and a therapy that was developed by Harville Hendricks. And he wrote the book, Getting the Love That You Want. And he's been on Oprah and he's created a couples counseling community around the world. And it's a really powerful type of therapy, and it's all about connection. And it's really based on, a lot of people come into couples counseling because they want to fix problems, but what they discover is the partner selection, the reason why they connect to the relationship specifically, has to do with more with about needs, unmet needs, parental traits. In other words, that we attract each other based on what's missing. And what's missing is based on our childhood. So he always says that we connect with each other basically to finish our childhood, not as much about, you know, the sexual attraction or what we share in common.
Okay, so you're saying there it's like a magnetic pull that has to do with those puzzle pieces fitting together and the missing pieces in our childhood, and we're trying to fill that with our partners?
Right. Essentially, Imago means image. So it's our subconscious that's really choosing our partner. Mm-hmm. So we're attracting people in our lives that share qualities and traits, some of them positive, some of them negative. But really, it's the ones that were negative, unfortunately, or fortunately, how you look at it, is that what brings us together. For example, we may have had a mother in our life that was smothering, that was always in our space, that was always controlling our life and maybe shaming us or criticizing us. And maybe we had a father or a mother that was unavailable. So the tendency is to approach a partner that might be, in this case of a mother that was smothering, that we may attract someone that's very clingy, very needy, always kind of telling us what to do. And so our natural reaction is to push them away, to create space for ourselves. Unfortunately, they're coming from the point of view where they had someone in their lives that was unavailable. So the more you push them away, guess what? The more that the person clings on, and then you have this, what is called an inevitable power struggle.
Okay. You know, that explains a lot. I have lots of my clients say, why do I always seem to attract the same kind of person in my life? How come I'm constantly in relationships with verbally abusive individuals, or how come I seem to only get the addicts in my life? Would you say that has a lot to do perhaps with what?
Absolutely. It's kind of, when you look at the subconscious mind, it's like a hard drive of a computer. And so we have old programming, good programming, and sometimes negative programming, and that's based on our interactions earlier on. And that programming stays with us. And you could see it in situations where, like you mentioned, when it's even more severe, when there's domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Like for some reason, men or women that are in domestic violence, they seem to attract the same kind of partner over and over again, or maybe someone that has difficult with addictions, or someone that seems to drop them or dump them all the time. So it's this message, like for the domestic violence example, they may bring someone in, they connect to someone, and then obviously people don't wear a domestic violent t-shirt, or they don't, you know, carry a baseball bat around with them.
They should, so right. We can identify them.
Well, what happens is they go into this relationship, and they, you know, you can meet someone in Times Square on New Year's Eve. All the bells and whistles go off, all the romance takes place, feels like this is your soulmate. All of a sudden, the pheromones die down, kind of what Imago calls the romantic phase dies down, and all of a sudden, it's all our unmet needs come up. And so for that particular person in domestic violence, they obviously had a childhood where there was domestic violence, either upon themselves or they witnessed. And so what people do is they try to repair that in some way, and that's the purpose of the subconscious mind. It's not about punishing us. It's about creating a situation where we attract something in our life where we can repair that. In the case of the domestic violence person, they're trying to fix someone that is unable to meet their needs. And so they keep going and playing this dance over and over again. For some people, they finally leave. They get a restraining order. Maybe they go into a shelter, but then they find someone else, and it's the same game over and over. And that's a sign that it's old programming.
Okay, so with the domestic violence example, someone may go back into that situation, and how you said they're trying to repair it. Are they typically trying to gain control over the person that's violent? Are they trying to fix the person? What are they trying to do to repair it usually?
Well, that's essentially what Imago calls the power struggle, where people are struggling after their relationship, and most people would say, well, we don't have the love that we have for each other, or things aren't the same, so I need to break away. But actually, the power struggle is the time where this is where you grow and you stretch and you learn. In the situation that you asked me about, what people try to do is they try to provoke them. So maybe that this person tries to please the other person, but ignore the fact that they are victims of domestic violence, or they try to avoid or focus on taking care of the children, or focus on money. But what they're doing, they're being like a bad politician. They're provoking whatever the old programming is in that person that commits domestic violence, and then it just kind of takes over like an old program, like a game. It's not something people are conscious of.
So they're doing the same dance over and over again, essentially, with the same partner and then with different ones a lot of times.
Right. And there's different roles that people play. Imago talks about there's two general types of people in this world. There's tigers and there's turtles. And turtles, and he calls these maximizers and minimizers. Turtles tend to be more withdrawn, tend to be non-expressive, non-emotional. They're trying to go in their shell like a turtle. Maximizers, or the tiger, are very expressive. And when they don't get their needs met, they try to cling, or they try to get the turtle to come out of their shells. And you know what happens when every time you try to get the turtle to come out of the shell?
The turtle goes deeper in the shell, and they're both frustrated. The turtle's scared. The tiger is frustrated.
Exactly. And that's a general idea of what happens in relationships. And then once in a while, the turtle will snap out after he or she's overwhelmed. Or maybe the tiger pouts and runs off and feels sorry for themselves, or goes into an addiction when their needs aren't being met. But the one thing that happens is if you leave the partner and you attract another person that's similar, you may switch roles. You may be the tiger in this one. It's all based on those unmet childhood needs.
Okay. And I think that's what we talked about the last time we talked about this, was that those things generally impede and block communication. Are there other things that block communication in relationships?
Well, it's interesting. Using the example of the kind of the tiger and the turtle, there's actually relationships can be, you can have two turtles, so to speak. Okay. And that is a very quiet relationship. I have a couple, I'll give you an example of a couple that has a very quiet relationship. These are two people that avoid conflict, avoid any problems whatsoever. And so through connection, and this is the resolve, I mean, this is about not solving problems, this is about connecting, they remembered that in their own childhoods, like the wife was verbally criticized, abused, really difficult childhood, and so she learned that she had to take care of herself and she had to not speak up or express her feelings. The husband was the same way. He had a father and a mother that were very judgmental, and whenever he spoke up, he would be either abused or shamed or whatnot. So you have two people that are terrified of expressing how they feel. So not speaking, not expressing yourself, not kind of being not available is a way that also provokes power struggles.
You know, I love that example. What suggestions would you have for this couple, or what did you tell them in terms of how to fix this? How do they get past their fear of communicating? Because that's a common theme that I hear in many relationships.
I think when two people are in conflict, I think sitting down and discussing it probably is their greatest fear, just like this couple was. Mm-hmm. So what they discovered, and this is almost always the case, the feelings that they felt, the beliefs that they had about themselves are almost identical. They mirror each other. She felt loneliness and sadness, and she felt she had to take care of herself, but felt resentment that he wouldn't understand where she's coming from. He would go into his cave and really shut down his emotional expressive self, right? And so he'd feel resentment about her going into work and doing these things. So being able to find a space in your relationship where you can sit down and talk about, you know what, this is what I feel. This is what I'd like from you, and I'd like you to hear me. And that is really what everyone really wants. We have our problems. We have our conflicts. It's generally about, like, people come in for six main topics. It's problems about sex, money, leisure activities, child rearing, closeness and distance. But it's always underneath that. It's always like, you know, why don't you appreciate me more? Why don't you hear me? And so basically sitting down and saying, listen, I want to share this frustration with you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And that usually takes the fuel out of the fire that comes up with all this power.
What I hear you saying is actually take the risk to communicate. And we've talked about that on the show a number of times, that it is a risk. It's an emotional risk to communicate with your partner, especially just because that's such probably one of the most important relationships in your life. So
absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you know, after, like I said, the romance, the kind of slows down, the white picket fence, kind of the image of being in love, the soulmate, it kind of, all our defenses kind of go back up. And so it's like, what have you done for me lately? Why don't you appreciate me the way you have? And so being able to kind of communicate that without a fear that you're going to be cast out, you fear that you're going to be rejected in some way, is a legitimate fear that goes way, 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 way back. That's what, you know, that's why I also use hypnosis and hypnotherapy. It connects the both as well.
Okay, and I definitely want to ask you a little bit more about hypnosis. It's almost time to take a break, but just to summarize real quick, essentially what you're saying is, you know, if you've got someone in a relationship, or if you're in a relationship and you're afraid to communicate, take the risk to open the door to communication, to say, here's what my concerns are, here's what my fears are. Correct? I mean, is there a way to get past the fear of doing that?
If you can get past this belief that conflict means problem solving and go back to the point of relationships are all about connecting, and you get a chance to be heard, and then you want to stretch for your partner to be curious about what it is that frustrates them, be curious about their feelings. Once you do that, then all the defenses, all the reasoning why he or she doesn't love me anymore and why the sex isn't good and all that stuff will take a sidebar. And then it'll just be two people talking about what they need and what they want for the other to connect.
I like that. Problem solving. Just really taking a look at problem connecting first, and it gives you the path to problem solve.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, it is time to take a short break. This is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Matt Gezzi. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Do you feel stuck in your relationship? Have you ever wondered why we act the way we do? Looking for helpful ways to get unstuck? Would you like to find ways to enjoy your relationship? Our guest today, licensed mental health counselor and hypnotherapist Matt Gezzi, has the credentials and the information to help. Looking to break free from the past and experience the freedom that belongs to you? Join Matt's new group, Letting Go, May 3rd through the 5th, for a weekend of discovery, renewal, and transformation. For information, call 954-317-3978 or find us on the web at gpstherapy.com. That's 954-317-3978 or gpstherapy.com. Talk Time with Trish is also sponsored by Henderson Behavioral Health. Henderson is the oldest and largest community-based, not-for-profit behavioral healthcare system in South Florida. Striving to be a community problem solver, we have carefully and intentionally focused our efforts on some of Florida's most urgent and behavioral health and human services needs. Operating over 650 housing units throughout South Florida, Henderson maintains the highest level of CARF accreditation and has done so continuously for 20 years. Henderson Behavioral Health will be celebrating their 60th anniversary Diamond Jubilee on Saturday, April 27th at the Signature Grand in Davie, Florida. For more information about the Jubilee, contact Suzanne Higgins at 954-777-1624. Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Rachel Lou Gluten-Free Foods. Based in Long Island, Rachel Lou's muffins and cookies are sold in some of the biggest retail grocery stores in the New York area and will be available in Whole Foods stores in Florida starting in May. Rachel Lou's cookies and muffins can also be delivered right to your front door anywhere in the country. Created by a nutritionist using only high-end quality ingredients, Rachel Lou's baked goods are 100% natural, meaning not only are they nutritious, they're totally delicious. To order, call 516-679-3033 or visit our website, RachelLouGlutenFreeFoods.com. That's 516-679-3033 or RachelLouGlutenFreeFoods.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Matt Gezzi, and we're talking about why isn't my relationship perfect? That's the ultimate question, isn't it? Before the break, Matt and I were talking about how to really connect with your partner and the importance of connection and also taking the risk to communicate. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people, Matt. And you and I both deal with this all the time with our clients in terms of getting people to take the risk to communicate. You mentioned hypnosis as a technique that you use in your relationship therapy. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure, my pleasure. I am a heart-centered hypnotherapist. I'm an instructor and trainer for the Wellness Institute, and I train other therapists to get certified in hypnotherapy. And why hypnosis is important, it's a very, very valuable tool. It's actually something that we all have. Hypnosis is a natural state of mind. The metaphor of hypnosis is basically the subconscious is like a hard drive of a computer. We are recording the events of our lives since we were in the womb of our mother. In the subconscious mind, we have all our feelings, all our habits, all those old stories, all our involuntary body functions. So it's kind of like when you're driving long distance in a car, and the song comes on, and all of a sudden you're in your high school prom, or you're 6 years old, and you get to a destination, and you don't know how you got there. Well, all that subconscious takes over, right? And that's where all the old programming is, all the old messages. And so what we bring into our relationships are those old messages, what I talked about, the stuff that we got from our parents, those traits, the images. Well, that's where it all lies. So the message that I offer for people that do hypnosis is very similar to that of Imago, that much of our struggles when we feel stuck in anything, not just the relationships with our most intimate partner, but with money, with colleagues, spiritual struggles, it all, 99% of it is really all old programming. And if we can work on that, if we can go back and work on that, it can be very valuable. And basically, we do it all the time. 80% of the day, people slide back and forth from their conscious mind to their subconscious mind. That is essentially hypnosis.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you here because I know a lot of listeners may have questions about that in terms of just being able to, what is hypnosis? Because they get scared of that. They get scared of the concept of hypnosis and really feel like, hypnosis is something scary. Is that something that, can you clarify for that for us?
Absolutely.
For a minute?
In fact, that is what, when people do the training with me, fears come up quite a bit. And so, once again, we go in and out of hypnosis 80% of the day. When you look into a computer screen or when you're reading a book, when you fixate your eye on something, whatever it is, a point, you slide in hypnosis. And a lot of fears people have, maybe they're familiar with stage show hypnosis, where a hypnotist seems like has control over someone. That what they do, like myself, I can pick out people that would go deeper quicker, but everyone can go into hypnosis. So those people go on stage and they're more open to suggestions. They're more open to doing what the hypnotist wants them to do. But I tell you what, as soon as something gets really unpleasant or not very good, doesn't feel right, they can open their eyes anytime and say, oops, well, that's enough. I'm enough fun for today. I'm going to go back to the other part of the cruise ship and enjoy myself. So it's, we have complete control. We have even more control when we're hypnosis because we get underneath the chatter of the conscious mind. And that's where all the gold is. That's where all the material, the feelings is. And so we do that all the time with hypnosis. I just use it in therapy.
Okay. And I'm glad you clarified that because that is what I think a lot of people think of is the stage hypnotist and it's, feeling a sense of losing control. And it sounds like what you're saying is it's a way to gain more control. Can you give us an example of how you might use hypnosis with a particular issue in a couple? Let's say you've got a couple that's struggling. How would you use that technique to assist in their relationship?
Well, let's see. Gosh, I have so many. The person that I mentioned, the one that maybe uses work as a way to be not intimate with his wife, that, work, eating, computer, it's everyday stuff that we enjoy, right? But when we start using it as a way not to get close, that means it becomes something that keeps us from getting what we really want, to be closer to the people that we love. So, for example, someone may come in who's like a real workaholic, and I've had that many times, and it's like an addiction. It's just as much of an addiction as drugs, alcohol. And so when this person goes through hypnosis and, the person is, I play music, they hear my voice, it's a 2-hour process. So what you basically ask the subconscious mind, take this person, take me to the source of why I use work as a numbing agent, as why I use work as an addiction. In this particular case, he went back to maybe 5 or 6 years old, and the relationship with his father came up. It just comes up. It's like it's like a time machine, or subconscious will take you right to the source. You just ask the subconscious, and the person is there. It feels like they're 6 years old. They know that they're an adult. Like I said, they can open their eyes at any time. So they go to a memory where his father was always pushing him to work harder, pushing him to work and do more that was expected. And then he learned, when he concluded that he was powerless or that he didn't matter. And the only way that he could be of a purpose or exist was to work. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was the only time in his life that he felt value. But at the same time, it's also connected with all the judgment and criticism that he received from his father. So through hypnosis, there's always a corrective experience. There's always a corrective experience. There's a time to express yourself, like I have them express their fear and their shame towards the father. But also, they connect the dots. And that's why it's healing. Because
it's about... Just the act of remembering and learning why the pattern exists is healing
more
in
than
itself.
It's more than remembering, because in talk therapy we can remember and we can share. When you're in hypnosis, you're there.
Okay, so it's almost like experiencing it all over again.
Absolutely experiencing. Remember, the feelings are all in your subconscious mind. So you can talk about trauma in your life and go in, someone can come in and talk about trauma, pay me, and I'll say, okay, I'll see you next week. But there's still that fear, that shame. Maybe they have a fear of connecting in relationships. But when you get to the source, in this case with this husband, when he realized he was able to express himself to his father, which he would never do because the consequences could have been dire. But in hypnosis, you can do that. And then you make the connection of, you know what? I do matter. I am important. I am loved. Whatever the old programming is. And then you can bring that into the relationship.
So in this example, Matt, you would give this gentleman an opportunity to go in and say what he needed to say to his father during hypnosis. Is
Absolutely.
That correct? Okay. And in doing that, he gains confidence and strength and power, and then is able to transfer that new feeling of confidence into the relationship with his wife.
And it's very powerful. It's even more than that. It's more than positive thinking. People have been able to heal their body. People have worked on their physical disease and illness through hypnosis. People have been able to deal with addictions. So there's this part of us that holds on to these addictions and this way of being, because it's kind of like a child. That's why they call it inner child work. It's the way that person has survived in their life. And if they give up, you know, it's worked thus far, but they're finding their life is unmanageable now and they feel stuck. So being able to let go of that way of dealing with life and coping is pretty scary for people. In fact, another fear that comes up is, am I going to open Pandora's box by doing hypnosis?
I hear that all the time.
Right. So that the one thing I tell them, the subconscious has one purpose, and that's to heal. That's why it brings up these situations that you attract in your life, work and relationships. And it brings up these situations that basically says, you know, you can live your life like this, you can look at the world like this, which has helped you survive, but this is the truth over here. This is what the real truth is. And so your subconscious mind will never give you anything you can't handle. It'll never give you something that will overwhelm you. You've dealt with the trauma or whatever it is in your life already, so you can deal with it now.
Wonderful. Well, that's a phenomenal technique. I expect you'll be getting a lot of calls from people after this show. Next question. I want to talk about the victim triangle. You talk about that quite a bit. Tell us about that.
Well, that's one of those roles. It's from a book called Breaking Free from the Victim Trap by Diane Zimbroff. She's the founder of the Wellness Institute, who I'm an instructor for. And it's a very simple image that people relate to. And it's based on if people have a connection to addictions and things like that or in recovery, they know about codependency. It kind of gets overused a lot in the therapeutic fields, as you know. But essentially, it's this way of being that we learn to be as a child. And so in this way of being, depending on what you grew up in, whatever families you grew up in, there is someone in the family that maybe one of the parents that drew the energy of the family and were that of a victim. Maybe they felt powerless, they felt sorry for themselves, they had low self-esteem, they had depression, or they were a workaholic or something, where they always felt stuck. Well, this is what we call victim energy, and it basically keeps people in that stuck experience, and then what do? Subconsciously, they attract more victims. And one of those types of victims is called what's called a rescuer.
Okay.
And these are people that tend to suffer a lot. These are people that tend to make their needs secondary. And the person that's a victim, that's their priority. So they feel like it's their job to fix their other person, that their whole existence is based on pleasing people. But they always feel resentment about having to do that. And lo and behold, people in the healthcare fields, working in hospitals, therapists, big rescuers.
Okay.
And we're good at crisis management, too.
So you've got the victim, the rescuer, and what's the third point on the triangle?
The other triangle is a persecutor. These are people that tend to blame other people for the reasons why they can't be happy, or they tend to be kind of self-righteous. It's about God, it's about money, it's about you. You're the one that makes me drink, or you're the reason why I'm not happy because you don't help me take care of the baby, and blah, 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 blah. In reality, these are all victim stance, which keep people from taking responsibility for their feelings and actions. And it actually It can be a relationship. It can be a family. But in reality, it's one person. We slide in and out of all these situations. And I can give an example of that later on.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to do that after we get back from the break, because it is time to take a short break. This is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Matt Gezzi. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
Talk Time with Trish is sponsored by the 8-time award-winning Managed Care Concepts, where excellence is our only option. Services include managed mental health care, employee assistance, and drug-free workplace programs. With an emphasis on confidentiality, stability, and experience, we get results. Our individualized attention allows us to have a 100% customer retention rate. Our dedication, customer service expertise, high engagement and utilization rate allow us to go that one step beyond the rest. Managed Care Concepts is at your service.
Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Health International Products. Not only are they a sponsor, but our host Trish Ferrante uses the product herself. It's new, it's patented, and it's changing the nutritional supplement industry. Energy Eccentric is the liquid capsule within a liquid capsule that controls the release of an energy formula for an 8-hour period. This revolutionary product eliminates the negative side effects of the immediate rush you get from energy drinks and shots and delivers a nice, slow burst of energy and controls it for 8 hours. Energy Eccentric is being sold in retailers all over the United States, including Rite Aid, Kroger, GNC, Kmart, Meijer, Winn-Dixie, and coming to Walgreens in April. For a free sample, please call 727-576-4513 or visit our website at 8hoursofenergy.com. That's 727-576-4513 or 8hoursofenergy.com. Talk Time with Trish is also sponsored by Miss Fran's Early Learning Center, which is located at 401 Northwest 2nd Avenue, Boca Raton, Florida, right across from the brand new downtown Boca Raton Public Library. Ms. Fran has been an educator for over 25 years in Boca Raton. Her program is an educational preschool and VPK program for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Her program will offer your child a nurturing environment, the role in reading program, and assertive discipline, all leading to a superior child care experience. For more information, call Fran Robert at 561-338-7649 or find us on the web at www.missfranselc.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Matt Gezzi, and we're talking about why isn't my relationship perfect? Before the break, we were talking about the victim triangle. And Matt, you gave some examples, the victim, the rescuer, and the persecutor, and you talked a little bit about that triangle. Can you give some examples related to that?
Sure. You know, many times when a relationship isn't working out, we go to some numbing behaviors. And a very popular numbing behavior can be food. Mm-hmm. And so one person may use food to numb feelings. And all addictions are about numbing feelings, by the way. And so, for example, that may translate into eating disorders, like compulsive eating disorders, and it may create a real problem. But a lot of people put on weight because they're using food as a numbing agent. And that may be disguising their unhappiness in their relationship. So, you know, a person may be feeling sorry for themselves, they have low self-esteem, or they're unhappy and or lonely, and so they use food to numb out, and they keep numbing that feeling of loneliness. And so what happens, they feel victimized by the one thing that they look forward to, and that's eating. And so what ends up happening, they usually think of ways to rescue themselves. They, you know, the South Beach diets, the quick ways to lose weight. Some people go to extremes by using bariatric surgery or the gastric bypass surgery, right? So that's when they staple the stomach and basically, you know, get rid of eating altogether, essentially. And, you know, that works. But many, many times those people end up going to another addiction. In fact, the alcoholism rate is very high with that surgery population.
So you've got your this gentleman, Jim, who's a compulsive overeater. He's eating carbs, sweets, gaining lots of weight. How does that play out? You said he does something to try to stop eating. Right. What's he really trying to accomplish with the food? He's trying to numb his feelings, you said.
Correct. And the rescuing part is he doesn't really want to deal, not consciously or subconsciously, deal with the loneliness underneath, the real sources of why he's eating to begin with, the hurt, the feelings about the relationship, and really way back to his childhood. So usually while they lose weight from the surgery, in that example, they still feel unfulfilled. They feel like a failure. And then they shift right over to the persecutor energy. They may blame the surgery, or generally they persecute themselves. Well, this works for everyone. Why doesn't it work for me? I'm still unhappy. And then they slide right into feeling victimized again. And then they just go to another numbing behavior, and it's a cycle. And that's a cycle that plays with us in our adult life, throughout our adult life.
So how do you break that cycle? Because I see this happening within people, but also in relationships where one partner's the persecutor, one's the victim, and then you've got the rescuer, and they bounce back and forth in that. How do you break that cycle? What do you do to help get them out of that mode?
Hypnosis.
That's the answer, right?
It's Diane Zimbroff, who I mentioned, she calls it a game. It's not an easy game to break. That's why people where it gets extreme, where they have a serious drug addiction and they realize that their life depends on it, or they may lose their job or their wife or whatever, they still go ahead and relapse. That's a message that it's not a conscious decision. It needs to be worked through the subconscious. And hypnotherapy, to me, along with, you know, dealing with the physical part of it, maybe doing support groups and focus on exercise and eating right, there's still that subconscious component, which is the source of what goes on. And it basically, I mean, that's what I've found. I've found a lot of people can really transform their lives through this heart-centered hypnotherapy and this work, and including myself.
Okay. Now, moving on to another question. A lot of couples come in, I see them, one always feels like they're working harder than the other one. You know, why is it that seems to happen, where one member of a marriage works harder than the other?
Well, that's a great question. And that's, you know, that goes back to the old programming.
Okay.
You know, when we go through this romantic phase of our relationship, then all our, you know, our defenses come back up. You know, in other words, you know, I want you to be the lover. I want you to be the father. I want you to be the partner that I always wanted. Someone that's going to listen to me and protect me, keep me safe, and to appreciate me and validate me. And as soon as we don't see that, we go into that mode of either trying to fix them or change them, which goes into the working harder. Maybe I have to be, you know, this is when people get to midlife a lot. People start thinking about, well, I've got to get a fat, you know, the men kind of work out again, and they get a fast car, and the women start doing surgery and making themselves youthful, thinking that the reason why the person in the relationship doesn't appeal to them, doesn't like them, is because they believe that they're unappealing, or they're not the person that they used to be. And that's also the victim triangle, that we get caught up in all the old messages. So we really, you know, a big part of this is really learning to love the strengths, the weaknesses, what we've become. You know, this is the spiritual part as well, learning to love who we are so we can give that love to our partners, to appreciate all the changes. You know, people come to me in all ages and stages of the relationship, people that have been retired, you know, that have lost love at this point after 30, 40 years of relationship. It really comes down to connecting and wanting to, be curious about, you know, what are your feelings? What, you know, what do you want? What can I do to stretch to help you work through this loneliness or the, whatever it is that you're feeling in your life? What can I offer you? And that's a big deal to put yourself out on a limb like that.
Well, it goes back to, again, taking risks to connect and making those true, genuine, honest connections with your partner, which is so hard. As we all know, the fear just really, really gets in the way. And I think especially during times of real intense tragedy or crisis in relationships, you know, I've seen crisis situations come up that make or break relationships. And you had told me one scenario about a woman who was having trouble with her pregnancies. Is that right? Can you share how you intervened in that specific example?
Yeah, this story, this situation is really an inspiration for me and why I realized that I love what I do and I love using hypnosis in the work that I do. First it was basically the husband that came in, and he came in the next day after he and his wife had a stillborn birth, and they had tried to get pregnant several times, and he was in complete shock. They were talking about, they're talking about this horrible image of holding their stillborn baby, and it was just so much sadness and so much devastation. And he did some really great work with me using hypnosis, and he worked on his shock.
So he came in first by himself without his wife. And and the image of that is just horrific in terms of just the devastation and the grief and the loss. So he came in, you used hypnosis with him.
And he did some work and dealt with the shock and the fear and the disappointment. But he's like, you know what? She's afraid to come in and she really needs to deal with this. She's really afraid. We want to have a family, but she's terrified. So it took about a year later. And eventually she came in, she's like, I really need to deal with this. I need to deal with my fears, because if anyone that knows about miscarriages and stillborn, it's not just dealing with it as a couple. You have families that have expectations. When you get if she gets pregnant, then the fear increases. So she had a lot of fear going on, and we used hypnosis with her to get to the source of these fears. And, you know, she had so many losses in her life. There were not only death experiences that she was a part of. She even went back to her own birth, where her own birth was so traumatic and devastating. It was really a lot of fear-based experience around birth. And she was able to see how much this fear and how much what she learned is like had to do with her belonging and accepting herself and really deserving a place on this planet, and how that fear came up when she was ready to basically give new life. And so she did, over the next 2 years, she did work, retreat groups that I offer. She did a lot of work on herself.
So let me interrupt you for a second, Matt, because what you're saying is during the hypnosis process, you took her back to her earliest subconscious memories, essentially, and did some healing work with her.
It's not that I took her back. Her subconscious took her there. I never tell a person to go to a particular place. I always let their subconscious take them back to the source. And the more work she did, the younger she got, and it got to a place of that moment where her own existence was in the air. And so, you know, through this work that she's done, she was always very, in the relationship, always fearful about speaking up. She's definitely a turtle, or was a turtle.
Okay.
Right? And she would never speak or do what it, from this work, she was able to speak up, and she's a real advocate, and she communicates better with her husband. But there was one more thing that she wanted, was to have this child. Right. And so she did a lot of work for 2 years, and she changed her job. They moved to do new homes, and she was very happy, but they still wanted to have a baby. So I get a call probably a year later. She's like, Matt, you know, I'm 8 months pregnant. The baby's due in a month. I'm really scared. What do I do? And so I said, come on in. So what we did kind of a hypnosis meditation, which is kind of the same energy. And we called upon her resources that she got from previous hypnosis, and it was all about welcoming the child, and she knew it was a boy. So we spent an hour just kind of welcoming, just, I'm ready for you, I'm ready to be here. And she said during the hypnosis, she felt him kicking in time with the music.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And she's a very spiritual person. She calls upon angels, and I also work with angels, and I do a lot of work with angels. So we called upon, of course, the Archangel Gabriel that has to do with children and announcing new life. And so we did that. She felt wonderful. I get a call a month later. They have a beautiful boy, and they're really happy. And so now, and it was to me and her, it was really about not just creating new life, bringing new life, but it was her own life, accepting that she belongs on this planet first and that she's welcomed, and therefore she could welcome this new life in her life, and I'm sure they're going to welcome more lives because she's a real inspiration.
That is such a powerful story, and I get teary-eyed when I hear you talk about that, because what an amazing difference this made in this couple's life. And on that note, it is time to take a short break. This is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Matt Gezzi. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
Talk Time with Trish is sponsored by Henderson Behavioral Health. Henderson is the oldest and largest community-based not-for-profit behavioral health care system in South Florida. Striving to be a community problem solver, we have carefully and intentionally focused our efforts on some of Florida's most urgent behavioral health and human services needs. Operating over 650 housing units throughout South Florida, Henderson maintains the highest level of CARF accreditation and has done so continuously for 20 years. Henderson Behavioral Health will be celebrating their 60th anniversary Diamond Jubilee on Saturday, April 27th at the Signature Grand in Davie, Florida. For more information about the Jubilee, contact Suzanne Higgins at 954-777-1624. Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Rachel Liu Gluten-Free Foods. Based in Long Island, Rachel Liu's muffins and cookies are sold in some of the biggest retail grocery stores in the New York area and will be available in Whole Foods stores in Florida starting in May. Rachel Liu's cookies and muffins can also be delivered right to your front door anywhere in the country. Created by a nutritionist using only high-end quality ingredients, Rachel Liu's baked goods are 100% natural, meaning not only are they nutritious, they're totally delicious. To order, call 516-679-3033 or visit our website at RachelLouGlutenFreeFoods.com. That's 516-679-3033 or RachelLouGlutenFreeFoods.com. Do you feel stuck in your relationship? Have you ever wondered why we act the way we do? Looking for helpful ways to get unstuck? Would you like to find ways to enjoy your relationship? Our guest today, licensed mental health counselor and hypnotherapist Matt Gezzi, has the credentials and the information to help. Looking to break free from the past and experience the freedom that belongs to you? Join Matt's new group, Letting Go, May 3rd through the 5th, for a weekend of discovery, renewal, and transformation. For information, call 954-317-3978 or find us on the web at gpstherapy.com. That's 954-317-3978. Or gpstherapy.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Matt Gezzi, and we're talking about why isn't my relationship perfect? Before the break, Matt, you were sharing with us some real powerful examples of how you've used hypnosis in your work with couples to really heal and move beyond basic communication issues and also heal some pretty serious crisis and tragedy situations. Now, in terms of relationships, is there a partner for everyone? That's one of the questions I have.
I believe there is. I always reflect that, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe that we're on this planet to be whole. And I'm, you know, I'm a bit of a romantic, but I understand that some people aren't in that place as well. I believe that everything about being on this planet is about connection, and that everyone is seeking. Ever since we came out of the womb and we were crawling at the age of one or two, always looking back at our mother, seeing if she's going to welcome us back, but always having the drive to explore. You know, that stage of our life, we're excited and we're exploring. And that whole message of, you know, if I be independent, if I become the person that I'm always supposed to be, am I going to be welcome back? Am I going to be welcome home? And I believe that everyone has more than one soulmate. Everyone has many people out there that are more than willing to be that connection with you. But it takes work. And so if a person's not willing to see their side of it, if the person would much rather be in drama with you, even though that you're wanting to go deeper and grow, then that's your message. Maybe it's time to move on, or maybe it's time to work in a different way. But there's always someone out there for you at any age. I have an example of people of all ages that find love at that point in their life. And I love how, like, these days, couples are coming to me before they're getting married, that they want to find out what makes the other person tick, you know, before they put the ring on. And that to me really kind of blows my mind. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear that. And I'm seeing more of that too, because you do want to make sure that it's a good match before you make promises that ultimately you don't end up keeping.
It's true. I mean, all the stuff that, you know, the whole match.com and the internet, you know, aspect of life, that, you know, they get all the likes and dislikes out there, what I read, what kind of food I eat. But the piece that's missing in some of those connections is the one-to-one, is the FaceTime.
Right.
Now you really get a sense, the chemistry, when you're in person with someone. And that's the part that gets kind of bypassed with all this. Not that the match.com doesn't work at times. It can work, but the real message comes from the one-to-one time.
So when one of your clients here in Florida says they are madly in love with someone in North Dakota that they've never met and they've talked to on the internet and they're about to join them and get married, what do you have to say to that?
Maybe consider getting a plane ticket. Maybe, go out and get some coffee and some lunch. Just be in the energy. You know, the person is more than a photograph. The person is more than hobbies. And you wanna keep in mind what you want in a relationship. You wanna keep in mind, you know, what's your non-negotiables, right? And not be afraid to express that and ask those questions.
Wonderful. Now, as we're getting to wrap up the show in the final segment, can you give us some tips and tricks and some ideas, advice for the listeners that would help them learn some things and work better in their relationships?
Well, definitely just, you know, being aware of what I said about power struggling. Don't be afraid of conflict. This gives you the opportunity to grow. Take responsibility for communicating your needs and desires. Remember that show Get Smart? I'm dating myself. Remember that show?
Yes, Get Smart? I do. I'm dating myself too. You made me. Go ahead.
they had the cone of silence. Mm-hmm. That plastic thing came down and all of a sudden they had everything secret so they could talk about what they wanted. Well, the relationship is that part in the middle, or the relationship is that part in the middle between two people. We all bring our baggage, but you have to make that time. And usually I say by appointment. When you want to talk about a serious issue, or even if you want to express appreciation, you make it by appointment. Like, would you like to talk about a frustration? I need to talk about a concern. Are you available? Right? And if you're not available, then it's your responsibility to tell your partner that, well, I can't talk now, I can talk in 6 hours or at lunch. Don't say talk later, because then you either leave them hanging or you get steamrolled, you know, in a relationship to have someone hear what you have to say. You know, using the metaphor of the island, people have to come off their island, which has their beliefs and opinions, and you just have to travel to the other person's side just to see if you can make sense of what they're saying to you.
Okay, so take responsibility for communicating with your partner. What's another tip you might have?
Well, it's a term that gets said often in counseling, this term called validation. Mm-hmm. And validation is a way that we can make the other person, that what the other person is going through makes sense. And so when people don't validate us, we think we're crazy. It's like, I have these feelings that, you know, if you don't call me, if you don't come home at time, or you didn't text me, that means you don't love me, right? Or you don't care about me. So I need you to hear that I'm angry and concerned about you. And most people, when they hear that, start giving excuses. Well, I was at work. All I ever do, you know, you're always taking care of the kids. Or so that's not validating. Validating is basically leading with a sentence, essentially, you make sense to me. Or I can understand how you would be angry at me for not coming home at time. Right?
Ooh, that's such a huge risk, because that's one of my big things that I ask my clients to do too, is to validate feelings. And when you're validating someone else's anger, that can be scary, because you're initially they're going to say, yes, I'm angry at you. And then you've got that dance that you're doing. So it's right. A very risky thing.
Right. And so what the person that's validating must really, really consider is that when you validate someone, you're just making sense of their logic. You don't have to agree with it. You don't even have to believe it. And sometimes you don't even have to fix it. You just have to understand that the person that you care about has these feelings about you. And usually when you say, yeah, that makes sense, all of a sudden the anger goes down, and then you can get your feelings hurt. All of a sudden they're listening to you now, and then you can avoid the power struggle.
So you're saying take turns validating each other.
It's definitely, you know, when people come in and do counseling with me, it's about taking turns. Because when they're in argument, when they're in conflict, you know what happens. The wall goes up, the ears close, and you're just thinking about ways that they've made you miserable.
Absolutely. And give us your last tip for today.
Well, bringing energy into a relationship is very important. This is like the old messages. You know, this is about, you know, maybe if there's romance in your relationship that's not there, then you got to bring energy, maybe bringing flowers or creating dates, or, you know, not, you know, the message, not leaving a self-help book on the table or giving a card of a counselor is not a way. You want to be more direct. One of my clients gave me a good idea of a cookie jar, having three types of evenings, a romantic, a fun, and an exciting evening. And then each partner kind of picks that card, and it's their responsibility to bring that into the relationship. Spontaneous experiences, having fun. Relationships are hard work. It's, you need to realize that. It's not something that just happens overnight. Relationships are work, and this is part of it.
You know what, Matt? That's wonderful advice for our listeners, and we are getting ready to wrap it up, and I want to thank you for being here today, Matt. It was a pleasure, as always, talking with you. And before we close the show, I want to invite you to tune in to next week's show, I Learned to Communicate from My Autistic Child, with guest Patty Smith. And that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank you again, Matt. And until next week, be genuine, sincere, and authentic.
Thank you again for tuning in to Talk Time with Trish. Please join us again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This week, see what you can do to improve communication with those around you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.